Welcome to the Patterns of Truth podcast, the place for casual discussion of biblical principles and difficult questions that face the Christian believer. We believe that the Bible can speak to today's issues, giving us the wisdom and the courage we need for our lives. We are so glad that you are joining us, and you can always find us at patternsoftruth.org.
Today, we're talking about guaranteed ways to overcome imposter syndrome as a Christian. We've all gone through it. If you've ever felt like you're not as skilled or accomplished as others perceive you to be, you've gone through imposter syndrome. If you've experienced persistent doubt and fear of being exposed as a fraud, you've experienced imposter syndrome. Well, you're not alone. Welcome to the Patterns of Truth podcast. I'm Patricia, your host, and today's episode will tackle reasons why imposter syndrome can manifest itself in the life of believers, and also some tips on how to fight back, but from a biblical perspective. The solution for imposter syndrome isn't really about believing in our own achievements and skills. It's about recognizing who we are in Christ. We're going to break that down. Today, I'm here with Krista and Peter, and we're going to talk about our own experiences with imposter syndrome as Christians and people from the Bible who went through it, and God's response to these individuals, using his response to them as a model for how we can navigate our own walk with Christ. So welcome, everybody. Hey, Krista. Hey, Peter.
Hello. How's it going?
Hey.
So I'll just jump right in. If I could sum up three ways God's people usually struggle with imposter syndrome, it would be these. One, our identity in Christ. Two, our walk or the way we live our lives. And three, the work that the Lord has called us to do in his name. So I'm going to start with Krista. Have you ever dealt with imposter syndrome in your life? Why? And how did the Lord answer your insecurities?
Oh, that's such a good question, because I feel like there's not just one time when you deal with imposter syndrome. It's like throughout life, you know, being born and raised in a Christian family, learning what a testimony was. You know, I always felt like I didn't have one because I was saved when I was 5. I was always a good girl, never gotten in trouble. And it wasn't until I got older and the world started to sneak in, and then I started to doubt if I was really saved. And I know, you know, even with dealing, you know, my daughter, she's a teenager now, and we've had these conversations and prayed the prayer a few times. And I've had to just tell her, you know, it's part of our faith and our walk, but it's also learning how to draw closer to the Lord in all of this. The more we seek him out, the more he reveals himself to us. And you know, he tells us over and over in his word. And I think one of my favorite scripture references is even just in how he forms us in Psalm 139, you know, where it says, I will praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And I know that when I start to doubt in what I'm doing or where he has me, I just reminded that he created me this way, and he has a purpose for me. And even if I don't understand what it is at this moment, like he'll reveal it to me. And so I just have to hold tight to him and keep communicating with him, keep reading his word and talking with other believers when I start to feel this way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like we feel like people with a more dramatic testimony, just a really big conversion story, it seems like more important. And then, oh, well, I just prayed with my parents by my bedside. Like, did that count? Right. I definitely think that question is imposter syndrome.
Right. Like
to do this again.
Yeah. I didn't wake up and I wasn't like cursing like a sailor or whatever. And then the next day, like those words aren't even in my mind, you know, like I didn't have that moment that I've heard people talk about. And so it's like, wow, how does this work? How does this work when you don't have that moment?
Yeah. And I think we're naturally like, we're attracted to like the big stories, like, and God does big things in big ways all the time. But I think sometimes in our minds, we don't see it, our own stories, as powerful and legitimate as others. And that's really like a our vision problem, I think, but we do kind of harp on this, like, oh, am I really saved? Or does it need to be bigger? You know, I don't know, Peter, what about you? Maybe not with salvation, but maybe in another area of your life, have you ever dealt with imposter syndrome, and how did the Lord just come through and answer those insecurities, or is answering at this time?
Yeah, I love how you divided it to kind of the three different ways we struggle with it, because it's true that we struggle with our identity, and a big part of it, our walk or manner of living, and sometimes we call it hypocrisy, because sometimes there's a deep inside us, we know that we're living in a way maybe it doesn't honor the Lord in some part of our life, and we feel so guilty in a sense that others don't know about this, and we feel that we're not truly living for the Lord. And I think I definitely felt that in my life, and I know, and I'm sure some of our audience that are listening maybe are feeling that right now or felt that before in the past. And of course, the last one also is important, the work that the Lord has called us. And that's as you grow more in the Lord and you reach the point where you feel the Lord is calling you or have a burden to serve as, you know, in youth ministries or serve in Bible study or serve in, you know, maybe mission field. And maybe it's not as easy as you thought, or you're struggling with it and you feel like you're not doing a good job and it's not thriving. Then you question, hey, am I really not doing what I'm supposed to do? Or maybe I thought I am called, or I have a burden and I don't have it. Yeah, but definitely I would focus on the second one in my life and think, you know, that's the one that probably hits the most.
Yeah, the our like manner of living. And that's, I think it's a hard one, whether you are a brand new Christian or you have been walking with the Lord for a long time. I think that we know we're in this state, right? We're in our bodies. Like, the Lord hasn't taken us to heaven yet. We haven't received a new body. We're not, you know, like the Lord yet in that way, like in a physical sense. So we're going to feel that dichotomy, I think, of the weakness in our own selves and how we would like to be. I think we would like to do better. We want to walk closer with the Lord. We think back about things we said or did in early in the day. Like, I was thinking about something last week, and like 2 days after, I was like, oh, I think that was the enemy right there. I think that was fiery darts. Guess I missed that, you know? And like, I definitely had a couple of days where I was like, oh my goodness, like, we're studying in our youth fellowship, the armor of God. And this is exactly the thing we were talking about. How could I miss it? And that question, I think, is rooted in imposter syndrome, right? Like, how could I miss it? Because I am thinking about this topic. I am learning about this topic. If this is who I am every day, then I should have seen it coming, right? And, you know, we really struggle with that piece. But I think that sometimes where we end up is where we started. And that's really at the moment of salvation. So when we became a Christian, there was an identity change. We moved from death to life. We received a new nature. And the scripture says there's an old man, right? Our old nature that's still within us, right? And we have to, you know, reckon ourselves dead, right? And that's hard for us because we're breathing, living, going to work every day, all this good stuff. So what do we say to someone who's a new Christian, but they don't feel holy, they don't feel saved or pure, and stuff just keeps coming up, and we can package that as imposter syndrome? Where would you go with this, Peter?
Yeah, it's hard for me to know where to go with it, because part of me, to be honest, want to make sure that they know the Lord.
Good point.
I want you to question yourself and really know it's not about a prayer, it's about repentance. So if you truly have an understanding of sin and the work that the Lord did on the cross for you, and you repented, you asked the Lord for forgiveness, and you were bitter about what happened, that is salvation. Yeah. I mean, I can probably say repentance and salvation are synonyms in a sense. But then one thing I wanted to say, that it's encouraging that it's not only you, that almost all believers at one point feel that feeling of two things, right? Well, first is, am I truly saved? Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not only you. And I would say that you will grow out of it as you become closer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I would kind of reflect on what Krista and Patricia said, because I have the same experience where I grew up in a Christian family, and my life did not have this huge conversion, but there is a transformation, and it was subtle. And I felt that I had the desire to read scripture more, my desire to act in sin was different. I felt convicted when this happened. So I saw a change in my life when I reflected back. So just give it some time, and you will see as you grow closer to the Lord that you are truly a believer. And now, I mean, you can question my faith, but I know, you know, there's something deep inside me that would tell me, you know, I know that I have a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
I was just thinking, like, as you and Peter were talking about, I think it's Elijah who was in the cave. He was looking for the Lord's voice and the earthquake and the storm, the wind that came, but it was in the stillness that he heard it. And I think that sometimes we expect big things with our salvation or with moments, but we're not always going to be, you know, they talk about the hills and the valleys. We're not always going to be on those emotional experiences, but it's important to know that in the stillness and the quietness, like, you know, he tells us he'll fight for us. We just need to be still, and that's when we can hear his voice. And getting closer to know him, we can hear him in the quietness, in the calmness of things. And we learn that he doesn't always feel close to us, but that's when we need to reach into his word more. Mm-hmm. And he's never going to leave us. He promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us.
Yeah. I was thinking along those same lines from the scriptures, because I just love how this topic really gets addressed over and over again in the New Testament. I'm thinking about Romans 8 in particular, that if someone says, I feel condemned by God, even though he says that I belong to him, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, right? That's like an objective truth we can grasp despite our feelings. And other parts go on in the rest of the chapter that talk about, you know, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life is life because of righteousness, right? And I think that reading through various passages in Romans 8 in particular are about like reaffirming people's identity, that a conversion has happened. We are new creation. We are now the sons of God. There's a witness from the Holy Spirit within our bodies here. Sorry, not our bodies, but within us, that we belong to him. And I love reading that chapter because it has a lot of really, really important verses there, especially verse 16. The Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, it's himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So if you don't feel like you are, which can happen, right? This chapter talks about there's evidence, right? Our spirit, right? That we belong to the Lord. And I think that, like Krista said, we really do have to get back into God's word, and that helps to ground us instead of us just kind of swirling around in our minds, going off of our feelings. So I think in a similar way, as we live our lives, right, maybe we get over the idea of, oh yeah, I am saved, right? You know, I belong to the Lord. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven in eternity with the Lord. But, you know, in our daily lives, we still sin from time to time, or maybe we're sinning more than we would like. So what do we do now when the devil comes to us accusing us? Well, you know, he's the accuser of the brethren. When he's like, look at your behavior, look at who you are, how you think, how you act. You don't really belong to the Lord. What do we do with that guilt?
Well, this is a hard one, Patricia, to be honest with you. And I think you alluded a little bit at the beginning and before when we were kind of preparing for this podcast, we mentioned that the world, when there is an imposter syndrome, they want to tell you, believe in yourself.
Mm.
And this, we see that at work too, when we have a new employee, and sometimes they mention in the interview, imposter syndrome. This is usually a bad sign. And like, you have to believe in yourself and know that you can reach that point. But in Christianity, it doesn't work that way. In fact, the whole Christian faith and our relationship with the Lord is truly the opposite. It's not about you and how much you are good or not good. It's about His goodness. It's about His work.
Yeah.
And I just, one encouraging verse for me that always I refer to is Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure.
Yeah.
And it's God who is at work. And He gives me the desire and He gives me the ability to live for Him. So it's not about you and how good you are. Put it in His hands, in a sense. And remember, it's a relationship with Him.
I love that, you know, when you, if you're studying about Jesus in the, just the miracles, the healings that He did in people's lives in the New Testament, nobody that truly met Jesus and encountered that change walked away the same. They were not the same when they came. Like, the blind man received his vision, you know, the leper was healed, you know, and all of these were physical healings, but their hearts were changed also. You know, they went away and they were different. And I think when we truly meet Jesus, you know, there's that question of like, am I really saved? Like, I know my dad, he was not raised in a Christian home at all. And he used to drink long before I was even born. And when he met Jesus, that was probably the biggest change that he talked to me about. It's been 45 years, I think. And that was a instant change. That desire was gone from him. And so, you know, it's not the same for everybody, you know, but that was something that was a stronghold in his life, that he was able to have that handed over through his salvation. And so I think, you know, when we're saved and the enemy comes creeping in, because, you know, we're human, we sin, like that's just a part. We still have that sin nature. And so when we have that, the enemy, you know, like in Job, when God taught, he goes to, before the throne, you know, Satan is up there and he's like, where have you been? He's like, oh, just roaming around trying to see who I can, you know, mess with, you know? And I think of, you know, when he starts to put that, you know, he did that to me. I have a very specific reason, you know, several years ago. And he said that to me, like, look, you say you're a Christian, but look what you did. You don't deserve to say that. You don't deserve to be working in the ministry that you're doing. Like, I remember I was at Bible study and I wanted to say something in answer to a question that was asked. And the voice was so loud in my head. Really? Do you remember what you did last night? Do you remember? You really think you should be speaking? You really think you're equipped for this? And I let it shut me down. I let it be louder than the Holy Spirit inside of me, you know, and there was a time later when I had to say, no, I'm a child of the King. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. And I had to shut that voice down because when we listen to it or we let it, you know, shut us down, you know, we give that power over to it. And we don't allow the Holy Spirit, whose power is working in us and through us, we don't allow, you know, Him to work in our lives when we listen to that voice.
I think the thing I think about often is that when the enemy does approach us about things that we have done or ways that we operate that don't match up with who we are in Christ, his answer is always for us to distance ourselves from the Lord, to crush our testimony, to not press forward, but the Lord calls us to confess, to come back to him, to ask the Lord for help, to ask him to show us the way out of whatever we may be doing, right? The scripture talks about pulling down strongholds. It talks about, you know, defending ourselves against the fiery darts from the enemy. And our Christian life is a battle. It is a fight, and we're not fighting it alone, right? We have the armor of God. Also, the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. But the enemy, when he comes to us, it's to demoralize us, to paralyze us, so we stop moving. And that's what paralyzing guilt can do. But when we see who we are in Christ, we see that we are his workmanship. He makes us. He works on us. He sanctifies us. He purifies us. And whatever missteps we have made, this is not the end. And we can continue forward. But I know that whenever we get stuck in that mindset, we don't do anything, right? We don't, the enemy says, like, well, who do you think you are, right? And we don't go to the Lord. We don't confess. We don't say, Lord, I need your help. And that's what he wants us to do. The Lord wants us to ask him for help, for support. And when we get stuck in that place of just feeling like we're accused and guilty and, I'm an imposter. Like, I'm not really a Christian. Look at me. Then we're stuck and there's no movement. And an ineffective Christian, that's the enemy winning, right? Like, if you hide your witness, if you hide who you are, if you act like you work for the other side, right? You're not dead, but your life isn't shining for Christ. And we have to get up at some point and shake ourselves and say, well, what does God's word say? Right, about who I am, whether we're a new believer or we're on the journey for a while and we're in a rut.
I was going to say that's one of the beauties of our salvation is we no longer have to go through life alone. We no longer have to go through the struggles and the triumphs alone. Mm-hmm. Like, he's with us, and that's why it's so important to find our identity in Christ, because the world is going to say, you need to look this way, or you need to have this job making these figures. You know, you need to own a house and a car and all of this stuff by a certain age. And if we gauge ourselves by that, we're never going to find joy in life. We may find temporary happiness, but we're never going to find that joy. And that's one thing that I've learned in my life is the difference between joy and happiness. And, you know, joy comes from the Lord, and no matter how hard things are, his joy never leaves us. We may be sad. We may be stressed out. We may be, you know, on the floor crying sometimes, not knowing how to put one foot in front of the other or see the light at the end of the tunnel in whatever situation we're going through. But happiness is temporary. Happiness is in things, or it's a feeling and emotion that comes and goes. But when we have our identity in him, when we know that we are rooted and grounded in love, because of what he did for us, and we take our eyes off of ourselves and focus on what he did on the cross for us, then that's where things start to change, because we're no longer focusing on the imposter syndrome with us, within us. Like, am I really supposed to be here or doing this or saying this, or, oh man, I should have done this, you know? But, well, Lord, you know, if we have a conversation, Lord, speak through me. And I always say, Lord, if this is not from you, don't let it come out of my mouth, you know? So I don't walk away being, oh man, I should have said this or I should have done that. Yeah. Because he'll speak through us if we give him that opportunity.
Speaking of which, it's funny you're talking about speaking for the Lord. So when I want to think about, like, the things that God calls us to do, and the first person that comes to mind who experienced what we would say is a version of imposter syndrome is Moses, right? The Lord told him, you're going to speak for me. And I really, really love this dialogue that the Lord and Moses have, because you can clearly hear what we would say is imposter syndrome, like Moses's preoccupation with his own inadequacy, his legitimate concerns about his abilities. And the Lord has an answer for all of that. It's in Exodus 3. Moses says, who am I that I can go to Pharaoh, that I can bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And the Lord said, I will be with you. Then Moses says, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I am slow of speech. I have a speech impediment. And the Lord said, who made man's mouth? Didn't I do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now go and I will be with your mouth and I will teach you what to say. And I think that that's a completely different response than what the world tells us to do. The world says, no, you're awesome. Like, believe in yourself, which I think satisfies things to a certain extent. But Moses was talking about legit concerns, questions, where he's like, how can I be a leader? How can I be a speaker if I know that I'm not good at these things?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, I'm going to put it in you. I mean, how big is our God, right? So, Peter, you want to talk about somebody else in the scripture who dealt with imposter syndrome, or you want to reflect on Moses for a little bit, just how the Lord dealt with him? But I think there's so much.
Well, I just want to share another verse, Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eyes upon you.
Hmm.
I think, again, I mean, it goes to, is it me who are trying to do things, or is it the Lord who's helping me reach that point? And sometimes, I don't know, we belittle our Christian life that it's dues. I mean, maybe like we're like machines, or it's a check boxes of what we need to do. I think that the closest thing, which is a picture we see in the scripture, is of a husband and a wife. And you don't live, it's a relationship.
Hmm.
So it's, you don't go to your husband, Patricia, and say, hey, I'm a good wife. I clean the dishes. And I cooked for you. And he said, no, I didn't pay the bill, so I'm a bad husband. It's a relationship. So maybe I'm digressing a little bit, but I think...
Oh, you mean like task-oriented? Like we're not... It shouldn't be task-oriented. Like...
Right.
Okay, I got you.
And yeah, it shouldn't be task-oriented. And when we're thinking about, hey, are we good enough or not?
Okay. All right.
It's a relationship that we have with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
that the Lord wants to have this relationship with us.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care if we're good or not.
Mm. Do you mean that we present our resume to the Lord sometimes? Like, Lord, these are my skills and abilities. Like, do you think that we do that? And that
I love what you said. Yeah, I think we sometimes do that. Mm. Hey, I have these abilities, but that defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially if we're supposed to be like surrendering, you know, mm-hmm. the Lord already knows who we are. So like, why are we auditioning? Yeah.
I mm-hmm. love that. Yeah.
I don't know. Just like when you were just talking, I was like, oh yeah, that makes so much sense. But then maybe that's why we go through that imposter syndrome, because in the world, we're just so used to performing for the next job. Like you have to do interviews, whatever we have to do in our
right.
And it's really hard to be that way for 90% of the experiences in our lives. And then when we talk to the Lord, we switch. I think that's hard for us. It's hard for me, you know.
Yeah, because in life, we're constantly doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to, are we in a relationship with the Lord? Like, is it a true relationship? If we're in a relationship, we won't be worried about our abilities.
So then how would you say then that we start to like get out of this trap in our minds where... Because I think we can unconsciously do it. Like for some of us who grew up in Christian homes, like if we got saved at an early age, a lot of us struggle with the idea of like performative faith, performing and being good to get something out of God, right? And we can quote all the verses about how that's not what this is about. Like this is about we follow the Lord because we love him and we have a new nature and we behave as he behaves because we belong to him. But I think that a lot of people who grew up this way were trapped in this mindset of, all right, Lord, these are my things. Look at me, my resume. Therefore, fill in the blank. Lord, because I do these things, I deserve marriage. I deserve children. I deserve this house, this career, this amount of money in the bank. Because look at me, Lord. And if the Lord doesn't give us those things, then we're like, ah, am I an imposter? Like, am I who I think I am? What else do I need to work on? You know what I'm saying? Like, I have been in that.
I felt that way many times. Like, what am I doing wrong? What am I not doing that you want me to do? What am I, you know, and then it's, again, it's like, not by, you know, not by my own strength, not by what I do, you know, he gives us, you know, what he chooses. You know, I always, when I start to feel that way, I always go back to Job and read those verses when God is talking to Job. And he was like, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know?
Yeah.
Do you know where I store the lightning bolts? Do you know where, do you know when the mountain goat is having her baby? And I start to think like, okay, all right, you're right. Like, I have to put myself in that perspective, but I did feel that way. And a lot of time, like talking with my mom and crying, you know, like 43 single, you know, like, what am I doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
No,
yeah.
It's not about you, Krista. It's not about you.
Mm.
Yeah. I love what Krista said. It's the question that you're asking, Patricia, how can we get over that? And I think...
I'll work through it. I don't know.
Yeah. The point that we understand, it's not about us. I think this is the point where we won't be worried.
Huh.
And the idea that the total dependence on the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think sometimes we need to say, like, what we're saying now when we pray to the Lord. I don't know what it is, but sometimes I feel like we act like the Lord doesn't see what's in our heads and our hearts. And sometimes I feel like we just need to say to the Lord, Lord, I feel trapped in this cycle. I feel like I'm doing things to please you so I get things. I know that's wrong, but I keep doing it. I don't get it. Please help me to stop. Right? Or show me why I do this so we can work on this thing. Or, Lord, please make me more aware. I find myself, like, more recently just praying to the Lord like that. Like, you know, just saying, Lord, I see this thing within me. I do not really know how to deal with it. I don't know how to pray about it. I don't know what verses to read, because it just feels like some of this stuff starts from childhood, right? So it can feel like stuck to who you are. So then how do you get out of that? If you're feeling like you're an imposter as a Christian, that you need to do things to feel settled in your identity, to feel settled in who you are, to feel accepted, you feel like you need to do stuff, right? And how do you just stop doing that? If you've been doing it for most of your life, it's not going to be really easy. So I think just being totally transparent before the Lord, and when we pray and we go before him, we say like, Lord, I just need help. This thing is deep, you know?
Yeah. It was Isaiah, right? Who said that he had unclean lips and God sent an angel and purified his lips and his mouth. He cried out, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do.
Yeah. So let's think about going beyond the professional advice that we might get in terms of like dealing with imposter syndrome. And we said it before, like, so often the recommendation is to believe in yourself. And I don't want to belittle that too much, because I think there is a certain point we have to say, like, look, these are my skills, these are my abilities and credentials, like, I can do this. When it comes to our spiritual life and our life as a Christian, the answer cannot be to simply look inward, because we are all over the place. Most of the time we have to look upward to the Lord and into his word. So Krista and Peter, if you could give us one more verse, because I know you've given a few, that has anchored you when you deal with feelings of inadequacy, either not fitting in as a Christian, feeling like who you are is incongruous with who God says you are, or something that he's called you to, like Moses or Sarah or Gideon, where you just don't feel like you're qualified. So give us one verse that the Lord has given you that has anchored you, and we can share out to our listeners.
I think for me, and I'm going to forget the reference here, I know it's in Psalms. I don't ever feel good enough.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever feel, you know, I hate talking in front of people. I don't want, I can talk to you all day long one-on-one, but I hate getting up and talking in front of people. And what profession am I in?
Right.
I'm I'm an educator. I stand up all day long in front of people and talk, and I have to do parent teacher conferences and, you know, get up on stage and do awards and things. And so my biggest struggle is I don't necessarily feel like it's giving him my credentials and what I'm good at, but it's not feeling like I'm good enough. I kind of relate to Moses on this area. And I'm just like, no, what you want me to do? What? No, I can't do that. And he says, yes, you can, you know, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of my life verses is I lift my eyes up to the hills. From when does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, who never sleeps.
Yeah.
And so when I feel like an imposter because I'm not good enough, you know, I'm reminded that I am because he says I am. Mm. And that he is going to give me what I need, like he did to Moses when Moses says, well, who do I tell them sent me? I'm nobody. And he says, tell them I am sent you, you know, and that is such a powerful statement in my heart.
Yeah.
You know, that if he's giving me, he's going to equip me.
Mm.
He's going to, it, you know, on my own, I'm not capable, but because of him, I am.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. One story that kind of really touches me is David with Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, who was crippled. Mm-hmm. And he felt inadequate in front of David. He was scared of his life because he thought his enemy. But David did not see him inadequate. When he saw him, he said, do not be afraid. And I love that David put him in the same table where he was.
Mm-hmm.
Although he was inadequate, he was not worthy to be where David was. David saw it in a different perspective.
Oh.
He loved him, and he wanted him close to him. So I think it's a good picture of us in front of the Lord, but even more, right? So yeah, again, the point is it's not about us.
Yeah, I think that when we are struggling within ourselves, the Lord knows that. He clearly sees that we're not at rest, that we're feeling conflicted. And the answer for us as Christians is always to turn to the Lord. Like, the answer is not within ourselves, because I think, like Moses, Sarah, Gideon, the things that they said to the Lord were legitimate. You know, Moses' speech impediment is a real thing. Sarah's age and her ability to have a child at that age is a real thing. Gideon, who's the least of his household, right? What kind of influence could he have? Those things are real, but it's the Lord who has the strength. He's the one who gives us the ability, the opportunity. And I think the thing that carries us is that we have to be strengthened within and ourselves. And it just reminds me, it's a part of a verse in Ephesians chapter 3, and it says, it's the end, it says, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And I think about how we need to get a little bit stronger inside of ourselves and our own concept of ourselves, not that we are puffed up or prideful, but that the Lord strengthens us, that he builds our confidence and our reliance and dependence on him and not on ourselves. And I think that we will be more at peace with wherever the Lord puts us when we realize that it's not about our abilities or our credentials per se, right? Like, what did Paul say? Like, you count them all as dung, right? It's nothing.
Right.
And that's how we have to think about it. And it's like, no, Lord, the Lord has given me something, right? Paul was a good speaker, but at the end of the day, we have to surrender it to Christ. And it's not, you know, we don't have to worry about feeling fresh in our skills or feeling out of date in our, like the way we do for our professional lives, but that we stay close to him and he uses us. So
even Paul was highly credentialed.
Yeah.
You know, he studied under, was it Galileo? Like, the, he studied, not, what's his name?
Gamaliel.
I forget.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce
Gamaliel. He studied under like a well-known, well-respected man. He was raised following the law to the T. He was highly credentialed. And yet he says, I'm the least of these, you know? And when we feel those feelings of inadequacy, you know, it tells us to take every thought captive, and we have to. And when we search the scriptures and we pour our hearts out to God, we're not always going to feel his presence, but we have to just trust that he's there and he's listening.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, thanks so much, Krista and Peter, for sharing your experiences and your insights, and most importantly, scriptures from the Bible. As we think about this topic of imposter syndrome, we have not solved the issue at all, because we all struggle with this every single day. But just remember that imposter syndrome is a common struggle, but it doesn't need to define us. Our identity in Christ is stable, right? Because it's built on him. Our walk and the work he has called us to do are anchored in his promises. So if you're feeling like you don't fit in, or you're struggling with doubts about your abilities, remember this: recognize who you are in Christ. And if you feel like you don't fit in at school, at work, or wherever else, that's okay too. Because if you're a believer and you're with other people who aren't, you are going to feel like you don't fit in. And I think in that way, we have to get comfortable with the fact that we're maybe people think we're not part of the group, and we're not. And we just have to accept that. But in terms of our Christian life, we have to recognize who we are in Christ. He gives us the power to do what he says. So to all our listeners, thank you so much for being with us today. Stay tuned for more discussions on the Patterns of Truth podcast. I'm Patricia, your host, signing off. Until next time, take care. And remember, you're a beloved child of God.
Thank you for listening to the Patterns of Truth podcast. We invite you to join us for our next episode. And we also encourage you to check out patternsoftruth.org, where we post articles every week for the encouragement and growth of Christ followers. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to submit them on our website. I'm Peter. Until next time.